You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today. Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League. I'm Robbie Musto and a special guest. Robbie has taken a weekend off, so we have Lee Dixon, our great friend from the UK, former Arsenal and England fullback, to join us. So that's great. So thanks for coming.
My pleasure.
Here are the topics that we're going to chat through on this podcast. Manchester United continue their sluggish start to the season with a 3-1 loss at home to Brighton as questions of crisis arise for Erik ten Hag. Tottenham complete a thrilling comeback win against Sheffield United with Richarlison and Dejan Kulusevski playing heroes. Man City overcome a sluggish start against West Ham by scoring 3 second-half goals in a 3-1 win, and Liverpool stretch their unbeaten streak to 16 consecutive games in a 3-1 comeback win over Wolves. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode. All right, my friend, Lee Dixon.
Firstly, I'd like to change the name. Why isn't my name up there? Oh, it is on the... I want the Robbie and Lee podcast this week. Robbie's not here, so I want to be involved in the heading.
Yeah, the Robbie and Lee, the Musto Dixon. I don't know, how can we make something?
I don't know.
Okay, so the first game we've got here on our little list is Manchester United 1, Brighton 3. Now, to be fair, it's in the game window on Saturday when there's a ton of games going on.
Yeah.
But I think we get a look at all of them highlights-wise, and we got a little bit of the games here. You know, this Manchester United story, Lee... Where do you sit with what's going on at Man United, given the kind of the issues around the club, particularly off the back of last year's successful season? Final of the FA Cup, they won the Carabao Cup, they finished third in the Premier League. You know, it's such a big drop off. Is it connected to the drama with certain players that are no longer at the moment playing for the team?
100%. I don't think you can separate the two. I think the performances so far this season have been disappointing. There's no doubt about that. I think every single week we seem to pick the papers up and there'll be something going on behind the scenes. It's not ideal. And you know what it's like, Rob, being in a football club. Any little thing that you can use as a player as an excuse, and I'm not saying they're going round going, oh, this is happening, so we'll play bad on purpose. But there comes a point where distractions start to affect what's going on. Not only on a Saturday or a Sunday, but also in training, there's distractions. You need to, you know, playing at a pretty high level, that you go from Monday to Friday prepping for a game for the Saturday. And I'm just speaking for myself. I had to be fully concentrated for all those times I was on the training pitch because it was part of being...
It wouldn't throw you off, would it? I'm not sure it'd throw me off. Saying that's not the same with the whole team. I think I can still focus on my performance, Lee, when I cross the white line. But I'm not saying it's the same for every player like that.
No, but by you saying that, then you've got to go through, what, 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 or 5 of your players, teammates, being suspended, being sent home from training because you're not training properly, details of things in their private lives coming out left, right and centre, and then the ownership going on there, all of that stuff, it all adds to pop. Of course we'd like to say I've had lots of things going on when I was playing at Arsenal, different things here and there. Tony Adams having problems with alcohol, discipline issues on the pitch where we got docked 2 points for a brawl at Man United, all of that sort of stuff. It's week after week something's happening in United. So I think you're a bit tough cookie if you can say, do you know what, I don't think it'd affect me. Because we're on the outside looking in. It's difficult. And also the social media pressure of the club they're playing for, the biggest club in the world in my book, it's an absolute... I think for Erik ten Hag to actually concentrate on the football is almost impossible.
Okay, so that being said, you know, you know, I can run down the list at the start of this game, and I know there's players that are out right now, suspended or away from the club, disagreements, whatever. I still think it's a pretty strong lineup. So what you're saying then, just to continue that, is that Erik ten Hag's hands are tied in some ways, and it's too difficult a situation around the club with all the issues there for even him, that's been really appreciated at his time at Manchester United and how he's trying to turn this thing around. It's even for him, not acceptable, but understandably. Yeah. And so this is understandable, is it, that they are, while they're in the league table now, they're like, you know, struggling in the league table, you know, awful at the moment. I'm not trying to give him an out, but
I know what you're saying.
When's it going to change then?
Well, we thought we'd seen the last of it recently, and then something else pops up. Now there's two issues off the pitch. But it's not just going on off the pitch. I think the way that they played against Brighton, we were watching the game and how the players seemed so disjointed. They were playing against probably the worst team you could play against in a crisis, playing against Brighton. Who are coming, who've got no fear about anybody right now. Coming to Old Trafford, where the pressure's on the home team, pressure's on Man United to actually perform like it is always. But extra pressure now, because Ten Hag needs a win. And he needs to just lift the whole place. And then Brighton come to town and absolutely rip you to pieces. And that's what's happening. So the football on the pitch is a debacle at best. And what's going on off the pitch, and you put that all in there, and then you go, and you're under the scrutiny from the media like you are, like we're talking about them now, like everybody else is. I mean, I don't know. I bet he's not getting much sleep, Erik ten Hag, at the moment.
Just from Manchester United fans' point of view, Lee, I mean, you know, we know they've had many years since Relic's gone and frustrations and stuff like that. You know, there was reports about booing when a substitution was made. I think Martial came off and Rashford stayed on. Rashal came on, didn't he, for Rasmus Højlund? That's right.
Yes,
and I think the fans felt that maybe Rashford should have gone off at that time.
Yeah.
The fans, will they be understanding as maybe what you are in terms of the situation, how difficult it is? Or are the fans going to... What can happen? Like, they're going to go through another manager, are they? How are the fans going to stay with the team in this difficult period?
Well, that's where they're going to get tested as much as everybody else, because the players and the team and Erik ten Hag need the fans more than any other time. And ultimately football fans are looking what they see in front of them. They're looking at performances. If they see the team giving everything and really scrapping for the badge, then you'll get away with stuff. I don't think they saw that at the weekend. I really don't think. You couldn't look at that United side. You're going through the players in front of you.
Yeah.
I slightly disagree with
So Lindelof is in for Varane right now. Okay, so that's a slight drop off. Lisandro Martinez has been an excellent defender for them. Bruno Fernandes is the captain. Whether you agree, I think he's an excellent player. Rashford's a star player from last year, played his preferred position. Rasmus Højlund's the new striker they brought into the club. You've got Christian Eriksen, who's a lovely footballer. Reguilón, okay, different. He's on loan, isn't he? They've got him in late in the window for Luke Shaw's injury. Casemiro, and what he's won in the game, Dalot, McTominay. So
let me just go through the same list that you've gone, and obviously by saying now you've said him, you think that's quite a good team. Not sure about the goalkeeper. He hasn't been there long enough. We're not made a few good saves.
Yeah, Lindelof, the club feel it's an upgrade.
Lindelof, I'm not sure he's good enough.
Okay.
Still, for Man United. Martinez, he's got pedigree and he's been a good defender since there. Bruno Fernandes, you say he's a good player. He is a good player. Throws his toys out at the pram too many times for my liking when the club need him. I don't trust him as looking in from the outside. Rashford is up and down. You know, he's a brilliant footballer, but do you always get what you expect from him every week?
No, you don't.
I
agree with that.
Christian Eriksen, I love him to bits. Don't think he can run about enough in midfield. Casemiro's on that wavelength as well. I think he's past his best. Reguilón, as you said, Dalot's not good enough in my book to play for Man United. Scott McTominay, they're trying to get him out the door. Doesn't look so good now, does it?
No, it doesn't. No, but from their point of view, that's a squad that they've got. I'm just saying there isn't that many others to come in. I know.
No.
I mean, Antony hasn't done particularly great things on the right hand side. Jadon Sancho's generally been disappointing some moments of it. So, yeah, whichever way you look at it, I think they would feel that they've got a good squad there and it's a decent team out, but like you're saying, actually not really.
I think
even last year, Deco, even with last year's They had a good season last year.
I think they overperformed last year. I do. But if you were sitting in that Brighton dressing room before the game, and that team sheet came in, I mean, all honesty, and I'm not bashing on Man United.
No.
I'm just going. We're going to Old Trafford, which is normally just, you know, a hellish place to go and play with that crowd and all. I'm looking at that team as it goes on that board, and I'm going to the Brighton. I'm sitting there going, we've got a hell of a chance today. And sure enough, they ripped them to pieces.
They did. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. And, you know, again, Brighton fans out there listening or watching, you've got to understand the appreciation we've got for this team.
Absolutely.
I love what the manager's doing there. I liked him from the first few games, what I saw he's doing. And you hear stories from some of the players about his training session, the detail and everything else, and how passionate he is. And every kind of play is almost choreographed, is maybe as much as we've ever seen in football. So
I think there definitely is a podcast for you to have with that manager. He's right up your street, isn't he?
Bliminate.
You'd love to have a little half an hour with him, wouldn't you?
I'm not sure I can handle him. Okay, so that was Manchester United's woes, and brilliant for Brighton and Hove-Albion. Now, another team very close to your heart, Lee Dixon.
Do we have to talk about this?
Tottenham Hotspur 2, Sheffield United 1. Again, same window, game window.
Yeah.
I mean, it all happened, didn't it, late in the game. And Richarlison, is the story. So let's quickly go him, then we'll go to Spurs on a bigger picture. Richarlison, Lee, and this is an interesting one because we know he's an emotional player, right?
Yeah.
And we had a quick chat about it. I don't think it's great to be an emotional player, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I want a focused player that somewhat keeps himself on an even keel. And again, everybody's different. So, you know, what I'm saying is the ideal, but I understand that people are very different. Firstly, what do you feel about Richarlison, Lee? Can he be an effective regular scorer for Spurs? We all know about Harry Kane and trying to find those goals. Is Richarlison it? Can he be it?
Well, I think that, you know, it's no secret that he's had some mental health issues that have been talked about over the last week or so. And obviously, we hope he's okay with that.
He was crying. Psychologist. He got benched for Brazil and he was in tears on the bench.
And he's getting the help of a psychologist and all of that. And so he's come back into the team at his best. He's almost unplayable. He plays
really
up
like
front for
best.
Brazil.
I know.
You know, he's their number nine. He can't be that bad. You know, but you don't see enough of him at his best, and that will be down to his emotion, because you know, you've played in teams where you've got a little bit of a maverick and you go, oh, this lad, he can win us any game we play in. But then you're kind of looking at him for 75% of the games he plays in going, he's a liability, or he's not quite doing enough. So I think he's one of them. I'm not saying that he's you only get 25% out of him, but in order for him to be positioned in the place where he is at now as Tottenham's number nine, replacing Harry Kane type thing, you've got to be churning goals out every week in and week out. So he's got to level himself off, however he does that, in order to get the performances to be regular. And I don't think, as you said, if you're up and down emotionally, that you can keep control of where you need to be as a pro footballer, locked into that six, seven out of 10 every week, and then build on that. That's what I used to do. I used to go, right, if I get 6 or 7 out of 10, everybody knows what I'm going to be doing at right back. That's good enough. And then the odd week, I'll get 8 out of 10, or back to 7, 8 out of 10, back to... But everyone, Lee Dixon's playing, he's going to get, you're going to get that from him.
Mm.
And you need players that are going to give you 10 and 5, 10 and 5, because they win you games. I didn't win many games.
No, me either.
You know what I mean? But he's certainly got the ability, Rob.
Mm.
There's no doubt.
Now, Ange Postecoglou, Lee, was, you know, I think a few people were a little underwhelmed about his appointment at Tottenham on the back
were
of...
Were you?
I wasn't, because I've got good friends that support Celtic up in Scotland, up in Glasgow.
Wow, you have friends.
I got some friends, not many of them, but he's a Celtic, and he said, Premier League's going to come for this guy. He said this at least 12 months ago.
Right.
Premier League's going to come for this guy.
I like him.
So, of course, then I watch a few of their games. I read more about him. I listen to, this is all in the summer, getting ready for him to come, and I'm like, wow, this guy, he can talk. Like, he's a brilliant, brilliant talker, super humble, likeable, honest, straightforward, plain talking, cares about everything and the fans. He just says all the right things. And the football was always exciting to me, Lee. But the first game, I remember we came into studio at halftime. I can't remember, my memory's gone now, but I remember it being a bit crazy. And I said to, Rebecca said to me, what do you make to that? I said, it was wild. It was wild, because they threw everybody forward. There was goals going in both ends. And I just said, oh, I don't know about that in the Premier League. And teams will use those spaces given. So far, they've got a brilliant record. They're right towards the top end of the league table. Early yet. What are you thinking to Ange Ball?
Well, I agree with you about being apart from it being Tottenham, obviously, but I'm being excited coming to the Premier League because I liked what I'd seen the games I've seen at Celtic. Mm. And I agree with you, brilliant communicator. And I think when you've got a communicator that you listen to,
it's half the battle, isn't it?
Yeah, you listen to him and you go, he talks my language, right. I can understand, right. Going in my ears,
yeah.
it makes sense to me, yeah. And he's one of them. And there's a few managers around like that. Some of them I don't quite understand, and that's not means that they're wrong. It just means I'm not on their wavelength. Right. And I would like to play for him.
Like
he's
it's
one
an
of them.
Angley on that. Sorry on that again. Like yeah. Some managers I feel talk like they're saying what they feel they should say,
yeah.
Or they're saying stuff not to give anything away. I think he just answers questions honestly and directly.
Yeah, I do. I think he's brilliant at that, and I think. Because it's Tottenham and I have a joke and a laugh and a joke with my mates and all this, like, and I said it on set before we went on air yesterday, I said Ange Ball won't last, you know, because I'm desperate for it not to.
But is there a tinge of you that thinks that? Given the way your background, Lee, and the structured teams that you played in, it is a bit, it's very unusual.
Of course, and there's an element of me kind of assessing it and going, like you did, you can't keep doing that, surely. And someone will find them out at some point, and they will get found out. But they've got something there now that they didn't have last year. Well, there's two things. They've lost Harry Kane, so they've all stepped up into that position and gone, wow, we need to do something. And also, they've got this freedom that they've been given, and they're all going, wow. So that could last for a while. And then you've got X number of points, and all of a sudden the season becomes a lot more rosy, and then you start winning games you perhaps shouldn't.
And the fans are behind Lee, and everyone believes in it, and all the players feel, wow, something special's happening here, which I think is a really important thing in the dressing room. When things are going well, all of a sudden everybody's at it. I mean, Pap's our midfielder, and Eve Bissouma that didn't get a sniff before. No. You know, Heung-min Son that's gone from the outside, I think before Richarlison, been playing in the middle position. It's an amazing story, and we'll of course watch it and see how it goes and see where the teams start to find the space that the fullbacks come inside.
Yeah.
Everybody runs forward. It's a story.
No, it won't.
It won't last. But I'll tell you what.
It
was good fun watching this game.
Yeah,
and at the end, we're like, wow, they can't win from here. I mean, like one of the latest.
Well, Tottenham had so much possession in that game, and Sheffield United, you have to give them credit. They defended, and then they got themselves in front, but then the ending was just proper Ange Ball to the. You know, to the end, and it was a brilliant watch.
I know, I'm sorry to finish on this, but I think when you think about that stadium with all those people that have been miserable a little bit the last couple of years, and these late wins come about, it looks pretty fun in there, mate.
Well, they'll be miserable next week because they're playing Arsenal. So.
Oh gosh, what a game that's going to be on next Sunday. Of course, we'll cover that.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Brilliant. Okay, let's move on to the game that we did take a bit of a closer look at. Same game window, West Ham United, of course, at home, hosted Manchester City. City come from behind. James Ward-Prowse scored a really nice goal, didn't he, Lee, in the first
really
half.
Good.
And then Man City, I thought, in the second half, mate. God, I mean, in terms of their precision football and their being at it and being creative and being patient and not giving anything away, how good were they in the second half?
Yeah, I thought they, you know, it was a great game, wasn't it? We watched the first half and I thought West Ham played really well. They gave them a load of problems. City looked a bit sloppy and then, as you said, they went in the lead, West Ham, and then all of a sudden you just saw them, you know, they've got this look in their eye, City, when they look around, they go, oh, we're in a bit of trouble here. Okay,
they can go
another
gears.
Gear. Yeah, let's just go up a gear. And mm-hmm. and that's even, you know, and also when they go up a gear, they don't always use Haaland to go up a gear. He's still ready to come at the back of it if they're really in trouble to get a couple of goals or score a hat-trick. So I think they really showed a lot of pedigree yesterday of not playing particularly well in the first half and then going, right, okay, and open the throttle. And then when they purr like that, they've got so many. It must be so difficult to play against because you, as a defender, you don't know who to pick up because their movement and their fluidity is just scary.
Some of the goals, mate. Some of the goals that Bernardo Silva and the little flicking behind for him by Alvarez. Some brilliant football. A couple of players I want to get a quick thought on. Of course, it's super early yet, but of course, there was a couple of late signings for City in the transfer window. Mateus Nunes came in from Wolverhampton Wanderers, came into the game as a sub, kind of late, so tough to judge him yet. But Jeremy Doku, this winger that can play right side, can play left side. He started on the left-hand side, I believe. Phil Foden was to the right. Is he going to be a fun player to watch this season?
Well, he was yesterday. I mean, I'm not
for the fullbacks.
Sue Fowle, don't think, enjoyed watching him.
Yeah.
But he's, they keep unveiling these players that they scout from around the world, Akanjis, and the players that other teams have looked at or are looking at, but they just seem to, their transfer policy about going to sign a player, they don't, I don't know what was going on with the Rice thing. It all seemed a bit muddy waters to me, but most of the time you never really hear about who they're after, and they just go bang, done,
and they work.
Yeah, and they go,
there's been many players that haven't worked out at Man City.
No,
for the big money,
they've got a brilliant scouting system, and Pep should be applauded for that because I don't think they get the credit that they deserve because it just seems like it's a normal thing. The City go out and get. They're not getting the best players. They're getting players that are going to be the best players when they get into their team. Yeah. And that's a genius stroke, it really is.
I just want to finish on a quick line with West Ham United, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Rob. Oh. Erling Haaland. So just give me a little bit of thoughts on him. Of course, he scores in the game. And, you know, sometimes I look at him, Lee, and it's like he's not involved, but then he's always getting chances in front of goal.
Yeah.
Just give us a little sense of what it might be like you feel to go up against him as a defender.
Yeah, I think I've watched him a lot, and as you have, and what stands out for me is that people say he's not in the game and he hasn't touched the ball and he's done this, but what he's doing, all of that time where we're seeing him not, he's got the centre-half or whoever he's playing against on, like, absolute 100% alert because they're so scared of him.
At any moment.
Mm. So all of that nervous energy, all of that physical energy, because he's an absolute robot, you know, and he's strong and he's all the time the ball's going up to him and he's not necessarily in the game or he's getting passes. He's making runs, he's banging into you, he's pulling your shirt, he's making you on your toes, he makes you look at you. Where is he? What's he doing? So if you're playing against somebody that's, you know, a bit low key and you can kind of have a 10 minutes off, you go, I've got a winger. I know I'm better than him, whoever it is, whatever. And I can go, right. And so you're not burning any energy off. You're just watching the game. Things are going on. The centre-half's marking him for 70 minutes when you say he hasn't had a kick. They're exhausted and he hasn't really been in the game. That's what he does to people. Yeah. And then he goes, bang, bang, scores two, scores a hat-trick. And you think, where's that come from? It's come from nowhere. It hasn't. He's done all that work for those 70 minutes in order to free up a little bit of space to get the goal. And by that time, the centre-half's absolutely shot. He drops his concentration. That's where he gets his goals.
And it might be a time in the game late where teams have having to come out finally, come out and play a little bit, and they're expansive. And particularly this game with his goal, oh, there we go, a little bit of space. Yeah. I'm ready to jump into that space.
Be interesting. I don't know. That just come to me then, and I'm probably wrong, but it'd be interesting to see how many times he scored the first goal in a game. I don't know what that... I'm going to look that up.
I feel like there's a lot that come later.
Yeah.
He misses chances, doesn't he? He has like a lot of chances.
It's almost like he kind of wears you down. He beats you up. He bullies you, and then he gets his goals at the end. I don't know. We'll have a look at that, Rob.
Before we move on to the next game, I just wanted to... I'm not going to ask you to do it this weekend, Lee, but we always have an underappreciated performer where we just kind of pick out somebody that not many people talk too much about, but we really appreciate what he does. And this week for me, it's James Ward-Prowse.
Yeah.
And, you know, lots talked about him with his set pieces, his corners and his free kicks and everything else. But I thought the goal that he scored, making a run into the box in midfield, diving head at the end, was excellent. And typical of a player that really is, he's underappreciated, isn't he? Like,
yeah.
Just for being a solid player, rarely gives the ball away, works, fills spaces, tracks runners, which I look for all the time for central midfield players, and then manages to get goals as well. So in terms of the whole weekend, I just think James Ward-Prowse deserves a mention. You know, David Moyes wanted him, Lee, for a long, long time, and there was thought about, oh, are we going to go, this new director of football they've got there, oh, let's go for somebody in Europe, a younger player. Moyes persisted with him, got him, and I want to give that to him. Do you want to shout on it?
I completely agree, and I think we talked about it in the show yesterday about forget his free kicks and his set pieces, just look at his tempo play, how he sets the tempo, his passing. He's moving into space. He's standing in space when he's there. He doesn't have to move. He's got a brain on him. He's really intelligent. Mm. And I think that run that you're talking about to get the goal, you know, that's an intelligent run.
He
has to see that space. He has to wait his time. He doesn't go too early, otherwise he's seen. So all of that timing on those runs is down to his brain work, not his leg work.
Mm.
And I think, and also, you know, and I forget at the top of my head, it's been a long weekend, but, you know, when you look at the transfer fee, you kind of, that's underappreciated.
Yeah,
like, you go,
wasn't
you got him for that.
50, yeah,
it wasn't extortionate.
No.
And
no.
I was like, God, that's a good...
I thought more clubs would have been trying
absolutely,
to get him.
Absolutely,
So anyway, but it's unfortunately a loss for West Ham United, but again, Man City, perfect. The only team that's won all their games so far. Okay, next game, Wolverhampton Wanderers 1... Liverpool 3, it's been a long weekend.
Yeah, it has been.
let's briefly talk about this game. It was a game of two halves, wasn't it?
The second half
changed a lot, Lee, didn't it?
With the
system change, and made substitutions. Jurgen Klopp after a disappointing first half. Hee Chan Wang scores in the seventh minute of the first half, and then they came roaring back with Gakpo, Robertson and a Bueno own goal. Is that the strength of Jurgen Klopp? I've called you Rob now. Do I get a yellow card? Or?
No. We're fighting. We're rolling around on the floor in a minute. It's okay.
Talk to me about Klopp and how he changes around.
Sometimes I think the managers, we criticise them, and I've been critical of Arteta over, you know, the last season of making substitutions or not making substitutions when you think something should be done. And, you know, as the managers we are, the expert managers we are, sitting in our television studio making these decisions. But I know how difficult, well, I don't know how difficult it is, but it would be seemingly a lot more difficult where they are. And sometimes their substitution wins games. And Klopp at half-time and his team talk, I think, would have been pivotal into why they went and changed. Because first off, they were terrible, Rob. They were all
flat
over the place.
Flat as a pancake.
Flat as anything, sloppy. Wolves, like they did against United when we did the first game of the season, they played so well at Old Trafford and ended up losing. Wolves really set about them, and they were brilliant on the break. Neto was fantastic on that left-hand side. Cunha's chance, it goes 2-0, it can be completely different.
Yeah.
And he knew something had to be done at half-time. And he's, you know, I don't know what his wages are, but they're pretty substantial in the tens of millions. And
he
earned it because he made some decisions and he made, I don't know what he said at half time, but he would have said to him, definitely that's not good enough. And whatever his method is, some methods that managers use are very quiet. Wenger very rarely raised his voice. He didn't shout a lot. He just got us all to sit down and said, I think we should do this and that. And he's very calm. George Graham on the hand before him would be throwing teacups around. Kenny Dalglish got very animated.
Yeah.
Sir Alex Ferguson, you know, with the hairdryer and all of that. So I don't know what sort of Klopp. I think Klopp's got a shout in him. So I'm pretty sure a few harsh words were said at half time. And second half, they were kind of back to their. Although it was against the Wolves team trying to get back in the side, they were kind of back to their fluid best at some points in that game.
Luis Diaz came on, didn't he, at the break?
Yeah.
And then Darwin Nunez came on later on.
Yeah.
Just a couple of questions on you for different positions. Now, the midfield area, of course, has been a total change. So many players have left, so many have come in. I want a quick line on you from Alexis McAllister. And he's been playing the holding role, number six now. And Endo is meant to be, the Japanese player is meant to be for that spot at some point. McAllister, mixed so far for me. Like, do you expect a little more as his career at Liverpool continues?
I think he'll get better. I think it's and this is no disrespect, and it's a difficult one saying this because he's won the World Cup. So, but it's not, that's international football. It's not club football, and it's not Liverpool. I'm not saying that Liverpool are a bigger club than Argentina. What I'm saying is it's a different prospect playing you week in, week out football.
Very high level, intense
at
level.
Anfield, and then away from home at Anfield, where Liverpool have got notoriety for going to these away grounds and people going, God, Liverpool are here. All the fans are there, and it's amazing because they're a huge football club, and that takes a bit of getting used to. So I'm going to give him a bit of slack and say he's a really good footballer.
He's a really good player.
Yeah. And I think, the system might not suit him right now, and then he'll, come to his form when they get that right, whether that's a slight change in there and pushing him in a different position. Yeah. But he's a quality player, and there's no doubt, as he's got that gong around his neck that proves that he's a good player. World Cup winner. It's not a bad thing, is it?
I played with a Brazilian guy. His name was Branco at Middlesbrough. And he was about 45 when we bought him, it seemed like.
And, same age as you, then?
Yeah, yeah. And, there was times in training, he was awful. Awful. Yeah. Couldn't give a monkey. He's walking around. In fact, there's one session, he's kicking the cones around like being a real pain in the backside. And any time he gave him a stick, he used to go, World champion. That's all he had. It's a pretty good comeback, to be fair.
Yeah.
So, and of course, he's got that as well. Two more things to Liverpool.
Yeah.
Front line. Quicker. So, who's your front three? And we know Mo Salah's locked in on right side. I'm thinking about Gakpo. Is it Gakpo? Is it Luis Diaz? Is it Jota? Is it Darwin Nunez?
I've got a thing for Nunez. I think he's going to be...
I do too.
I think he's going to be good.
Even though he misses a lot.
Yeah.
I don't mind... I do mind he misses, but it's like it's good that he gets those positions.
I do, and I like Gakpo as well, but I also like... who's the other one you mentioned? It's been a long weekend.
Is Diogo Jota?
No.
Luis Diaz.
Yeah, Diaz.
Diaz got to be left, hasn't he? Into the left side.
Nunez, Salah. That's what I'd go. But, all good sides, you've got to be able to mix it about a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's, I think when Mane left, there was a big hole to be filled, wasn't there? And it was like, have they filled it yet? Yeah. And,
Diaz looked pretty good, didn't he? Straight away, Luis Diaz looked pretty good.
Be interested to see if he gets a run in the side rather than coming off the bench, and he gets a run and goes, you're going to play every week.
I think so.
You're going to play every week. Yeah. Brilliant.
It'd be remiss of me, Lee Dixon.
Yes.
Of not to bring up this next topic because I'm fascinated in it. You probably know what it's going to be already.
Of course I do.
Trent Alexander-Arnold, right fullback for Liverpool.
Yeah.
Magnificent distributor of the ball. Crosser, through balls. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Questionable as a defender of a right back. Okay, let me try. Am I going to frame this question?
Yeah, are you going
to
word this?
Well, is he worth, and this is a yes-no, which isn't a great way to answer questions, it could be a yes-no answer, but is he worth the defensive travails to have his attacking prowess at right back in a back four? And give me a reason for your answer. And any answer
yes.
is okay, by the
no,
way.
No, yeah? Yes, as long as the issues you've got with him playing like he does accommodated by the rest of the team, and last season that wasn't the case. The season before they were brilliant. But then he changed. So you can't have everything. You've got it's 11v11, Rob. You know that all over the pitch. 11v11. Somewhere, if you've got an extra man or someone who's creating a load of stuff and a load of good stuff, there'll be a gap somewhere else. Or there'll be if he's doing this, he won't be doing this. So you've got to accommodate him. And when he plays and he wanders into that little in front of the centre halves and bees and the
player.
The playmaker, then you go, well, who's going to then play right back? I mean, right sided centre back going to go over there like Man City do, and they play that kind of morphed three with whoever's going. Stones was going in there, or Akanji goes in. So you've got to be able to come. I don't think that Liverpool have done that particularly well, trying to fit him into that.
Do you think Jordan Henderson did a great job 2 or 3 years previously? He fitted in there and did all that. What you're talking about.
Yeah. And I know you always like to talk about the midfield players because you look at them and you analyse them, and he was the one that was
filled in.
He was the one. And then as his legs started to go and he wasn't quite in the team as much, then you start to get issues in that area. And I think their midfield has been their problem that Trent has paid the price for.
So you like so I'm a little surprised, but you like him there, and you would try and organise a team around playing him in that position and the gap that sometimes he leaves, instead of saying to me, you know what, Robbie, Liverpool, get a proper, a normal right back, play him in midfield or outside,
no,
a wing back.
No,
I would like him as a fullback.
I still want Liverpool to play with a fullback. But if you're saying to me that Trent's got to be in the team, then do you accommodate his brilliance by playing him in a slightly different position, and how do you work the problem out elsewhere? Mm. I go, if he's going to be in the team, then you can't play him as a right back. You have to play as an adapted right back, and then that causes other issues. So if you said to me, he's going to just play right back, they haven't got the midfield players to come, like you said, they haven't got a Jordan Henderson to do what he's...
To help him out.
To fill him out. Mm. So until they do that, then you kind of play him in a morphed position or don't play him. But they're always going to play him because he sets up 20 goals a season.
He does.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. Because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
All right, let's move on to our next game. It's a Sunday game. Everton 0, Arsenal 1. 1-0 to the Arsenal. We like that. And Dicko's suddenly livened up a little bit. Leandro Trossard scored in the 69th minute. It was kind of a slow burner. Everton super defensive, you know, and I get it. I guess they remained in the game, Dicko, till the end, right? 0-0, 1-0. They're kind of in the game for points or a point. We can maybe chat that maybe after we speak Arsenal though, but how much was it a mature performance? How pleasing was it that it was a little ugly and it was a little difficult? Arsenal were rugged and tough, and Arsenal have, and like the others, had players come back after international duty. Was it one of them where you're like, that's such a good 3 points, even though it didn't look that good? It's a really good win.
Well, it looked like they enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed watching it, because we've all played in games like that, and we've all drew them, and we've all lost them.
Yeah, all scenarios.
And the sign of a good side that is going to do something in this league, consistently, you've got to go into a game like that, and you've got to make sure that you come out and you win the game. And 1-0 to the Arsenal is not a coincidence. You know, it's something we built success over, is making sure you don't get beat, but scoring, you know, once you get 1-0 up, you know, you play in a certain way. And you grind it out, and you have to do that. And I think it'll be, when he looks back over the first 10 games of the season, when that's up, as a manager, maybe blocks of 10, you look at them and go, right, or blocks of 9, what did we do right? What did we do wrong? And that will stand out like a beacon to go, wow, that was tough. Because 4-1, 4-1, Everton didn't want to score, didn't want to try and do anything. Scary football, we're all fearful. We've lost 2 at home and now lost 3 at home. We haven't scored a goal, in massive trouble. But they were going for a point, and to grab a point against Arsenal, Sean Dyche would have been jumping through hoops. So it's difficult. They'd sat right behind the ball. The slow football, to play against that system's really difficult to break down. But they did it. So well done to them. And churn another one out next week. In fact, no. Next week, go and batter Tottenham 4-0, and then we'll see where we get to. But it was quite enjoyable.
I think a couple of things in it, and again, there's so many things we can go down. But I do want to ask you about two things in the Arsenal side, and if basically from what happened today in terms of team selection, we'll get to Kai Havertz, but I want to get to David Raya and the decision by Mikel Arteta to play him instead of Aaron Ramsdale. And when we got the news, we're like, wow, we know that the two of them are there, and we've heard him, Mikel Arteta, before say, you know, I want two players for every position. He keeps saying it. He said it again today in interviews around the game. But it still felt, oh, wow. Is this okay with Ramsdale? Is this a temporary thing? Is this giving him a game before the Champions League? Where do you stand on this decision to bring in David Raya? He's on loan with a view to a signing, so they're not committed to buying, which I think is really good for Arsenal. Really good. Have a great look at him. Do you think he's better than Ramsdale? Do you like the policy what Arteta's done here, or is this an odd one, a weird one, and they could have strengthened in another area instead?
It is weird to me, and I think it's a bit, I don't want to be disrespectful here, but I think it's a bit Pep-like. It's a sort of thing that, it's a sort of decision Pep might do in a kind of, when he does one of those decisions, you go, wow, what's he done there? What's he thinking there? And I think Arteta he's obviously learnt off him a lot of things. He was with him for quite a few years, and his first managerial job, he's now one of the biggest clubs in the world at Arsenal, and he's a thinking man's coach, manager. Yeah. He's always trying to tweak things in his mind. We've been playing Partey at right back. Yeah.
Overthinking at times.
And I think sometimes maybe overthink. This might be one of those occasions where he's gone, I need two goalies, because, you know, Man City haven't got two goalies. They don't rotate the goalkeepers. He's just maybe going a little bit into his Pep feeling of, I'm going to do something different here. I'm going to... Just be careful. I always say with goalkeepers, you have to be careful that you don't. I know for a fact that Ramsdale won't, you know, say, "Is he all right with that?" Yeah, I'm going
to
fight
absolutely
for his place. He's absolutely furious. Yeah. I can guarantee he'll be absolutely fuming. Mm. I know him. I've played golf with him a few times at events, and I've talked to him about the game, and hugely passionate, very confident in his own ability, like most goalkeepers are, because it's that type of position. He will be.
And he's been good, Dicker.
He hasn't made one mistake, has he?
Very little, very little. And all of a sudden, like, he's got this competition. It's going to put him on his edge. Does he play the game differently? Does he worry about making one mistake because it could change? I don't know. He hasn't made a mistake in the last few games, and yet he's out the side. I just wonder for the next game, what's he going to do? I'll tell you what I think he's going to do. I think he's going to play Ramsdale.
Yeah.
If he doesn't play Ramsdale in the Champions League game, does that mean that Ryan now is...
No,
having a few. I have a few. You have four or five now. He's had five. You have four or five. And then go back to him to have five.
Dangerous.
We've never seen that before.
Yeah. And the thing is with goalies as well, if say I'm playing not very good at right back and the winger's getting the better of me every week, I'm in a bit of bad form, and he goes, Lee, I'm going to leave you out for a bit, and somebody else goes in. And you go, all right, well, you know, you say you go in for my place and you do a really good job, but ultimately I'm the right back. And I go, because most teams have got their set 11 that goes, he's the first choice number two, first choice left back. Pep swaps it around a bit, but in general, you know the left back for, like, Everton's going to be, or more or less. And if he's in form, he'll be playing. With goalkeepers, if Raya gets in now, which he's in, and he goes, right, you're going to stay in now until you make a mistake. He might not make a mistake, because the goalies at that level don't make that many mistakes. The goals go in, but it's not always their fault. And you look at it and go, I don't think you can do that with goalkeepers. It's a specialised position. You can get a right back playing centre half. You get a centre half playing right back. You can't get a centre half playing goalkeeper.
Yeah, he's trying to make it sound like just like every other position.
And it's not.
I want my players on their toes, all of them, to know that there's other players to come in. I don't know. It's an odd one to me as well. I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, the Champions League game midweek is going to be fascinating, who plays and how he's going to manage these two. The other one I want to ask you about is Kai Havertz, Lee.
Yeah.
I was like, why? And then, is this kind of an overthinking situation where everybody thinks, you know, everybody can't want to understand why I'm buying Kai Havertz, but I feel I can get the best out of him in a position. Now, we did have a conference call with Edu and Mikel Arteta, Lee, pre-season. Fascinating. Yeah. The first thing I asked Arteta, I said, why?
Yeah.
You know, it raised eyebrows, like, and he just felt like, as that position in midfield where Granit Xhaka played, he thought that was a really great position for him, for this team to have more quality, more depth, more youth, everything else.
Mm.
It's been a slow start from Kai Havertz. What's your feeling on the German?
I was the same with you. I was like, why are we signing him? And I was kind of going,
it's like, maybe he's smarter than us. Like, maybe Arteta's smarter than us.
No, absolutely, definitely, probably is. Yeah. But I was looking at it and I was going, not sure, and all the fans, all people like I know are Arsenal fans, what's on him for? And I was like, right, I'm going to go the other way here, and I'm going to go, I do, I do actually quite like him when he plays well. So I go, I'm going to stick up for him here. I go, do you know what? Just he's going to be a slow burner. And I just hope
covering all bases.
I just hope he quickens up with his burning because he needs to get me out of trouble a little bit. But so I'm going to stick with him, Rob, for a bit. And I just go,
yeah, let's just keep
giving smarter benefit. People than me have paid a lot of money for him. You know, I just give him a, I'll give him a bit more of a chance. Okay. I don't want to make my mind up just yet.
Okay, other games, mate. Let's just whip around. There's one game here that's just looking at the remaining games here. Of course, Aston Villa 3, Crystal Palace 1. But I'm going to talk about the next game here. Bournemouth 0, Chelsea 0, Liam. And that was another game. It was the first game on this Sunday morning. It was a bit of a frustrating game to watch. We watched the first half, Lee, and the halftime kind of hit that we did was like, wow, Bournemouth are incredibly stretched here. And Chelsea had so much opportunity to find space, to get turned, to do all the things that you want to do, to build the play into the final third. The final third is where they are so obviously lacking right now. Yeah. God, there's so many ways to go about this, Lee. Let's just stick on that for now. Given the opportunities that they had and the situations that they had, why didn't Chelsea score multiple goals maybe in that first half?
Well, you look at Jackson. Jackson looks like he's got, he's devoid of all confidence in front of goal. He makes some goals. I was watching him in the game playing on the shoulder and he made some good little runs, you know. And I was like, and I think that's why it catches your eye when you first see him play. When he first got into the Chelsea side at the start of the season, you went, oh, hang on, he's got a bit
like
here.
I think with Simmer, we love players, strikers, that make these runs in behind. Stretch
just
defenses,
little,
get
on
behind.
The shoulder, come, and then just little spins down the side of the box, get in the box with the ball, never a bad thing. You know, if you can do that, you've got half a chance. Mm. And he gets in those positions, but then what happens after that? Some of his shooting today, I was like, wow. You know, that's not, he was like League Two.
Yeah.
And that's has to be, he can't be a finish, that can't be his finishing because he wouldn't ever get a chance to play at that level. So there's a huge lack of confidence. It doesn't help playing in a side that is, you know, what are they now, 14, 15?
Yeah, 5 points from five games.
I mean, it's just...
I think this is going to be, I've said it for the last few weeks. I can't see a team that's going to regularly score goals, multiple goals. No. I just don't see it. No. Unless he finds a way. I mean, the five at the back, and it's a little bit tweaked with Mudryk playing as a wing-back instead of Chilwell. So that's a slight turn up of the attacking dial in terms of who the wing-back is.
But that's not an excuse for
that's
that
not
performance,
enough.
Is it?
No. I mean, I think you've got three centre-backs, it's got to be two.
Yeah.
Got to go to two and play a normal back four with Chilwell and then another attacking player.
I don't think you can play two centre-backs with Silva in the side. You know, I don't think he's got the legs to be able to. I think the cover is there for him. So what do you do? Do you drop him out of it? Are the two good enough without him?
Well, Dizazi and Colwell, which you worry about with Fofana being injured right now, Badiashile being injured, Chalobah being injured. I mean, what do you think, Lee, about this whole the whole policy, the philosophy of going out and ripping it all up and buying...
It's just madness, absolute madness. I've never seen it. I've never seen that many players go on 8-year contracts in order to...
They're not proven.
No, and been given millions and millions of pounds over a period of a long time to actually go, right, we've got all the FFP sorted out now, so that's that sorted out. They're not good enough, Rob. It's quite simple. You go, well, hang on, they're not proven. So you've got to now go into the team that's losing and only got 5 points to prove yourself to the new manager that you can play at this level regularly and churn out results playing for one of the biggest clubs in world football. It is madness.
Yeah. We all know what we feel about Mauricio Pochettino, Lee, and great manager. Really, and I ain't changing my opinion on this, was the right guy at this time to come in and try and do this.
Yeah.
But I just wonder if the job, the squad, is so difficult to try and mould into a team right now that even for him this is going to be incredibly difficult.
It'd have been a brilliant podcast to sit him down before he took the job and he was thinking about taking it and having the conversations he's had with the club and going, what have they said to you and what have you seen that you go, I can do this? Because if he looks at that bunch of players, is he looking at that bunch of players and going, I can make a team out of this? Or is he going, as he said to him, I need to get rid of all this. How are you going to get rid of players on eight-year contracts on millions? They're not going to move.
No.
They'll just, I'll stay here. Players don't necessarily want to play anymore.
Maybe the theory is that they're young enough, that they'll others will come in for them because of potential. And also that the wages, I think, for some of these guys wasn't as astronomical as some of the more experienced players, the proven players are. Mm. That might be part of the model of, let's take them. If they're not working out, we'll move them on because their wages aren't huge for others to take on.
There's about 30 of them. They've got to move, do a lot of moving.
Yeah. So another frustrating day for Chelsea. I mean, again, let's just wrap it up now, Lee. Just around the last few games, I'll just run through them and add just any comment you'd like about them. Fulham 1-0 versus Luton Town. Good win, important one for Fulham. It's Vinicius that came off the bench to win that game. Newcastle United with an important victory,
yeah.
Lee. We know the Champions League starting next week. It was Callum Wilson with a penalty against Brentford. And I think that is your lot. Did I mention Aston Villa 3, Crystal Palace 1? And there's so much talk about all the games, but we can't, unfortunately, get around to all of them. But I feel like this has been a conversation with Lee Dixon.
I've been miles better than Rob, haven't I?
It's been fun. Be careful what I say. No, it's been
non-committal.
I appreciate it, mate. It's been fascinating working in the studio with you.
Yeah,
it's really been good fun. And
appreciate
giving the time after a long Sunday to come on to our the Two Robbies podcast. So thanks.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so the next episode of the Two Robbies podcast is on Sunday, September 24th, and we'll be recapping the match week 6 of this amazing Premier League. Until then, it's good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Good night.
I went a bit early then.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.